Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. All you got to do is text us. That's the Ascension Technologies text line. Coming up in about an hour from now, my good buddy Scott Buttram of the Trustville Tribune. He'll be with us. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall making his weekly visit on the program. So we'll hear from him as well. But joining us now, as promised, we were trying to get both Barry Moore and Jerry Carl on at least once a week into this March 5th primary, but fulfilling his end of the deal. We're always very appreciative of that. Congressman Jerry Carl. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. Up here in D.C., it's nasty raining. I hadn't stepped outside. I don't know how cold it is yet, but it looks cold.
Yeah, well, and D.C. like is kind of a cold that like cuts through you because the way the wind whips around up there. I just maybe it's because I walked a lot more to get places and metroed it a lot, but it just did. I remember it being like a brutal, unfriendly cold.
It's the weather up here is brutal anyway. Most people find that hard to believe, but when it's hot up here, it is hot. When it's cold up here, it is cold. I don't know any other way to explain it, but it gets miserably hot in the summertime. And, of course, in the wintertime, it just gets wet cold. It's always, you know, just cold to the bones.
Yeah, I mean,
walking around my apartment with my heavy coat on.
It really is built on a swamp. I mean, it's not, you know, just a
literally.
Yeah, it's not just a figure of speech. It really is built on a swamp, and there's, you know, you talk about short seasons. I mean, that's Washington, D.C. for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get into it right now. How's the campaign going? Give us an update.
We're looking very positive. Last week, we spent a couple of days over at Fort Novosel and really did a deep dive into what their needs are. I had no idea Fort Novosel was so important to the state of Alabama. Is the fifth largest employer in the state of Alabama, which blew my mind. I had no idea. And so we got to spend a lot of time there. We got to look and see what their needs are. They've got some real, some serious needs in housing, not housing, but apartment complexes and housing. Well, it is housing for our armed forces that go in there to be trained. They train more pilots there than any other facility we've got. Again, these are things I had no idea. It's Army Aviation, it's fixed wing and helicopter. We got a tour of the facility itself. It's about 80,000 acres. I'm sorry I don't have my notes in front of me, so that's going to be a little bit off one way or the other. But it was just incredible just looking at it and seeing how much of an investment we've got there. And it really needs some help. So that's going to move way up on my priority list. It's getting old. It's getting weak. It needs some attention. Just needs some love to it. So I've already started making some plans and working in that direction. But, you know, the reception we've gotten over in the Wiregrass has just been unbelievable. People have accepted us and are giving us time and are listening to our elevator speech. We're feeling very, very positive about the Wiregrass. We're excited about that. At the same time, we're focused on Mobile, Baldwin, and Escambia County. We can't forget, you know, who took us to the prom, and that's our focus also. So we're spending and trying to keep our time 50-50 split between the new district and the old district. We're very encouraged at this point.
I want to go back to the discussion about Fort Novosel. And you know, you don't usually think of the Army with aviation, right? Air Force mostly, maybe Navy to some extent. But as far as aviation goes, the what used to be Fort Rucker, now Fort Novosel, it really is the everything the Army does, I guess, aviation-wise is where you go if you want to be an Army aviator.
Oh, yeah, aviator or anyone that's going to work on any of those airplanes, I mean, or helicopters. I was just stunned. It's not just about the pilots, but it's all the support staff around those pilots. It's air traffic controllers. It's mechanics. It's load operators, you know, the guys that specialize in getting the loads. When you think about the Army helicopter, you know, those are the helicopters that are taking our soldiers into battle and are bringing them out. And, you know, they're bringing them out in wounded or bringing them out when it's time to come out. They're delivering more firearms. They're delivering more bullets. They're delivering more food. I mean, they're always in the hot zone. So these are some pretty remarkable people, very smart, very smart. And some of them, one young man that I was talking to that's nearing the end of his flight school, he was actually in the Army. He was a tank driver and decided to change his focus. And, of course, he's staying in full 20, 25 years, but has changed his focus. Now he's going to fly helicopters. So not only does he know how to fly tanks, he flies helicopters. So we got some very remarkable people in that serve us in this military, and we need to take care of them. I mean, again, that base has been neglected, especially the last 3 years. You know, I'll put in a negative plug here, but I can't confirm that Congressman Moore has ever been on that base in an official capacity, which just absolutely blows my mind. And if that is the case, what is he going to do when it comes to Austell? What is he going to do when it comes to Airbus? I mean, will he ever go on those facilities? Will he take care of, you know, our investment, our national investments there? So it was really eye-opening. It was certainly worth 2 days of my life to go there.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. He's running for the Republican nomination against Barry Moore on March 5th. For the newly drawn first congressional district. Something else I want to gauge where you're at on this, Congressman, but this discussion about shutting the government down if there's not certain criteria met on shoring up the southern border, how far should you guys on the Republican side take this fight, if at all, do you think?
But shutting the border down for all of us is without a doubt our main focus. And I think that's the focus of the voter base, too. We've got to do as much as we possibly can to get that changed. Now, with that said, I'm not going to arbitrarily tell somebody I'm going to shut something down if I don't get my way. I'm in D.C. I came in a day early because of the storm last night, but we'll start today, and they'll start feeding us information on what's in some of these packages. I want to look at it and read it before I make a commitment. I want to understand. I'm not going to be told, you know, how to vote one way or the other by caucus. So I just arbitrarily say you're going to shut something down because it's not the way you want it, I don't think it's a good way to do business. Are we willing to do it, and are we capable of doing it? Of course we are. You know, we've got to do what's best for this country, but I truly do not believe that much, if anything, is going to change at the border until we replace Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden can today make a change and shut that border down within a matter of hours, but he won't do it. Mayorkas, he's on the way out. You know, he's probably going to come up for a vote. If not this week, he'll certainly be next week. We'll impeach him, quote unquote. But again, that'll be a stain on his record. I don't think, Jeff, and I got asked this last night by somebody else, can we literally take him out of office? I don't think we can. I think that's going to have to be, since he's appointed by the president will have to do it. But we've got to make some serious changes down there very fast. All of us are losing patience with any hope that things are going to change.
Well, is it the idea here that the president is just flagrantly ignoring laws Congress, long ago, but like 30, 40 years ago, passed regarding enforcing any international border of the United States, and just blatantly disregard for the law? Does that meet the criteria for impeachment?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does without a doubt. But that doesn't, I mean, we impeach him, it's just going to, you're talking about Biden, I assume. We impeached Biden just for staying on his record.
Either Biden or Mayorkas or whoever it may be.
I don't think we can literally take him out of office, but we can put a stain on his record and put pressure on him. Now, I may be wrong. Somebody can tell me if I'm wrong on that or not. But we have to do as much as we can. And if impeaching Mayorkas is an option, I'm all for it. We've got to do something. I know the man personally. I've had to sit through several dinners with him, and I don't have any respect for him. So, in the capacity of that he's serving, so. This country's in trouble. We got wide open borders. My commercial that's running in our market down there talking about fences make good neighbors. I mean, that's just common sense stuff. You know, let's finish the wall. You know, let's get that technology working for us. Let's do the simple stuff to keep, you know, a country is not a country without borders. Look at Europe. Look at some of these. Look at Canada being just overrun by these hate groups. In Europe, I mean, just overrun by these hate groups. I got stuck in London for an extra day because they shut the streets down. All the Muslims took to the streets, protesting, and we couldn't get in and out of London. So my wife and I left early one morning before the protest started again, got to the airport 12 hours early just so we could get out of London. But you let that many people in town and they can't eat and are into a community – they can't eat, they can't feed themselves, or they're illegally. They've got nothing to do but to protest and shut things down. We're beginning to see that through this Palestine stuff, where they're beginning to shut streets down. We've got to get hard on these people. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm from the old school. Don't get in front of my car and, you know, start pounding on my hood, because it's not going to be a good end result. And I think most of us in the South feel that way. I can't speak for everybody else, but, you know, Southerners, we're pretty simple. You know, you push me, I'll push back. But it's a scary time, but it's also a time that leadership rises, and we're trying. We're digging in, but we've got to replace this president. We have no option. We have no option.
Well, and obviously I was not alive during this time, but – I mean, this is kind of, and we know how they did for Nixon, but the way Nixon won in 72, you look at the parallels. Look at what's going on in the country now with crime and how the big cities seem kind of out of control to some degree. And there's a lot of uncertainty around the globe. That 68, obviously, and then 72. But it was like a left-wing ideology that really kind of bolstered him in those elections, I feel like. And something tells me that the American public, demographics have changed a whole lot, but I just think the impulse is going to be that this really isn't working out the way this is going with Biden.
I'll still stay with the statement I made 2.5, 3 years ago. Joe Biden will not be the Democratic nominee for president. I've said that, I keep saying it, and I'll keep saying it. They will wait till the last minute to move to take him out, or he'll take himself out, he'll bow out, and then the Democrat Party can appoint who they want to run. And that's when it gets pretty dangerous. I don't think Biden's capable. I certainly don't think mentally he's capable. He's not a leader. I mean, he's been in the Senate his entire life. He's never had to live out in public. He's never had to, you know, go to a restaurant without somebody making the reservations in advance. He's probably never been grocery shopping. So he doesn't understand the economic impact that his decisions have made the last 3 years. You know, everybody, you know, you watch TV and you get mixed results. All I got to do is ask common Joe, you know, how do you feel today? Are you making more money? Is groceries costing more? Is gas higher? And it's all yes, yes, yes. So this president's got to go. Donald Trump will be our next president. There's no doubt. You know what you're going to get. I love his policies. I love his, you know, what's going on in the Mideast right now. That will slow up and stop when Trump gets in office, because they know what Trump is capable of doing. So we've got to just keep hanging on. We're like that cat on the screen door. They keep slamming that screen door on us. We just have to keep hanging on, and it goes right back to the border. I mean, Jeff, I spent 9 days, 7 days down in Central America trying to figure out an alternative to what's going on right now. And again, if you want to take time, some other time, I'll explain what I found down there, but it is just is brutal. Everybody's making money off of it, especially the Mexican government. And the cartels are running all the business down there. So don't kid yourself. This is not about people and freedom. This is all about profit. These are billionaire cartels. These are not a bunch of thugs. These are guys in three-piece suits riding in Ferraris. These are very slick businessmen. So, but, you know, again, let's get Trump in there. Let's start pushing back. Because our borders are wide open. We have to shut them down. We have no alternative but to shut them down.
Well, looking way downfield, and this isn't really anything to do with your race, but looking at the presidential election, do you feel that you feel we're past the like demons of 2022 when you know the anticipated outcome was supposed to be much better for Republicans, and now fast forward to 2024? I mean, do you feel like the Republican Party is better poised to do something a little greater than what had happened in the midterms?
For the Senate, I do. One thing I've learned up here, as long as you can hold the Senate, control of the Senate, you control a lot of things, a lot of things. So as far as the House, I think we might be able to hold the House. We have a handful of people in the House that are not going to let things happen. They're not going to. I mean, they're just no to everything, trying to shut things down and get in front of the TV cameras and try to convince you why. So for us to control the House, for us to get majorities, one thing, but to be able to control what's going on the floor, I mean, we need a huge win. We don't need 5 or 6 members leave. We need 40 or 50, but we can literally have enough governing-minded congressmen that want, congresswomen that want to do business and sit down and try to fix it instead of just, you know, focus on the social media page. And that's what we have. I mean, it's discouraging. You see all these members that are retiring and getting out, they don't want to fight it. Now, they just don't want to keep fighting their own people. And that's my opinion for what it's worth. But I'm not giving up. I've never given up on anything in my life. And I dang sure ain't giving up now. So please, I appreciate your vote March the 5th, because I'm coming right back up here and I'm fighting. And most of the fight right now is with our own people, our own Republicans. Because once we get past them, we can start fighting the real enemy, which is the Democratic control up here.
Carson, you got to leave it there, but as always, we appreciate your time. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.